Welcome to Kings Cast with Eric and Ryan. This is your weekly Sacramento Kings podcast for Kings fans by Kings fans. As always, this episode is brought to you by Ziggy's Smoke Shop. You can follow Ziggy's on Instagram at ziggys.stockton. They have locations in Stockton and Tracy. We are coming off of, I thought it was a really good episode last week. Ryan and I came on for episode 127. Good conversation just about De'Aaron Fox and his ascension early in the season. People knocking Sabonis and just talking about those veteran players who've been kind of a letdown to start off the season. Great episode. If you're looking for that episode or any of our other episodes, you can always find those streaming on the Believe Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts. Bringing in my co-host today for episode 128, Ryan, what's good?
Hey, I'm 128, huh?
Yeah, I made the emphasis right there. Yeah, I caught that.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? So we are recording. It is Monday, November 14th. Currently, the Washington former Redskins are playing the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football. So got that stream in here to the side. Right before we came on, I just found out that I lost a teaser. It was, I had Milwaukee plus four was the final leg of the teaser tonight to, you know, make me $60. And well, you know, Milwaukee got blown out by 15. So, I'll just start off my week shitty. But you know what? It's episode 128. The Kings are fucking 6-6 after the 0-4 start. It's a good fucking time to come on here and have a great time. So, as usual, Eric, I'm happy to be here. Let's kick the show off, man.
Love it. I'm gonna kick the show off right away, Ryan, with the Bet Online ad, so that people know, and people get it. And I'm gonna tell you this, Ryan, really disappointed in the voters of California for shooting down what was on the ballot. But we got things for you. Basketball is back, and Bet Online remains your number one source for all of your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, players news, and game trends at Bet Online. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports and events, whether that's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ryan, yeah, it is 6-6, man. It's been a good stretch, and you know, a lot to talk about, a lot of fun things. I'm just excited the way the season's taking off and where it's going. You know, I thought it would be a little bit more of a battle to get to this point to see some of the things come to fruition, but I feel like it's kind of showing early. We can get more into it. I'm going to hit you with the player, though, before I get too long in the Kings talk, okay? So if you're new to the show or just checking us out, we always do this to break in the show where I give Ryan a random NBA player from our past, and he has to guess it based on their basically Wikipedia page, their bio. Let me pull it up, Ryan, because I had this player up on a different thing. So let me see real quick. I think this one's going to be good. I think you'll get it. Because I have faith in you. You're pretty much like a 90% shooter. You're basically De'Aaron Fox's free throws.
In clutch time.
De'Aaron Fox's clutch free throws when it comes to this. Okay. This player, Ryan, he's 49 years old now. Gives you some context. He was drafted in 1995 in the first round, 18th overall out of Wyoming. Probably does he no good there. Selected by Detroit Pistons. He's a center slash power forward. You're going to remember him as like a center. 95 to 97, he was on the Pistons. Okay, 97 to 01, 76ers. 01 to 04, Atlanta Hawks. 04 to 06, Trailblazers. 06 to 07, the Celtics. 07 to 08, Timberwolves. 08, Pistons. 08 to 09, Sixers again. 09 to 10, Spurs. 2010, Bobcats finished off with the Lakers. He was a 2001 All-Star, though for the 76ers. And he was a three-time NBA blocks leader and a two-time all defensive second team. As an owner, Ryan, I saw this as I come across it. Two-time WBA champion. I just want to throw it in there because it's on there. Career 7 points, 5 rebounds, and 2.4 blocks Who is it?
He played for a long time.
He played for a lot of teams. Like, I read through that, and it was just kind of a that was a long list. Here, you're gonna remember him most probably 01 Sixers, and then
is it Derek Coleman? No, Derek Coleman got drafted really high. That was a dumb guess. Oh wow.
Yeah. Wow. Should I make you die on the hill? Or should I give you one more? I'm feeling generous, Ryan, because you've been so good. You have a lot of good faith built into the show. I'm gonna let you get one more guess.
I'm really blanking on this, but I don't know. Samuel Dallenberg. I don't know. That's wrong. It's no, Eldon Campbell. Eldon Campbell, maybe.
Okay.
No, I don't
all right.
Know,
just
dude.
Stop the bleeding. You're gonna kill yourself when I tell you that Theo Ratliff.
Yeah, Theo. Yeah, fucking idiot.
Theo Ratliff was an all-star in 01, man. I couldn't believe that. That was a good one. Win for me.
Theo Ratliff was an all-star in 01?
Yeah, it says right here, according his...
The year for Philadelphia.
Yeah, it says right here on his page. Maybe he was.
The year that they went to the championship.
01. Three-time NBA blocks leader.
He wasn't on that fucking team, was he?
Oh, sorry. He was in Atlanta Hawks. My bad.
Wow.
There's a lot of teams. Anyway, I'll move off that. Here's why I picked Theo Ratliff, though, because I've always been about the shot blockers. I always say my favorite player was always Ben Wallace, and so I always had respect for the shot blocker / rebounder guys in the early 2000s that had no offense. That was always my my thing, you know. All right, breaking into the Kings talk, Ryan. Haven't been to a game. I haven't been to a game in a while. Okay, I think. Have I been only one? I've only been to one game, but I'm going this Thursday to the Spurs. Have you been to any games recently?
I went to okay, so I've been to Portland, I've been to Memphis. Who did I go to? Crap, who did I go to last week? I can't remember, but yes, I've been to some games, a lot of fun energy. The Ying Yang Twins played at halftime. That was pretty funny, dude. I was like walking the concourse and I'm like, wait, what? But, you know, they just haven't really played at home a lot. I know they played yesterday. Okay. But it's a Sunday at 3. What'd they play? Nah, 6. The game was yesterday at 6. Plus, I've seen the Warriors play a bunch of times. That's the moneymaker for season ticket holders. You know what I mean? So I made a nice little chunk of change off those tickets. So I sold them. But I am going Sunday, November 20th against the Detroit Pistons. I got 4 tickets. So you're probably gonna be included in that, Eric, just so you know. I got the ticket, so I will be there. You are going Thursday against the Suns and tomorrow against the Spurs, and then I sold the Nets tickets for tomorrow.
Yeah, no, you're right. There hasn't been any a lot of home games. I was kind of concerned. So we were kind of staring down the barrel we were kind of staring down the barrel 1 week ago. That's what I was trying to say. And at that time, the Kings had a couple tough L's. One particular, I think the Miami Heat at the time. And, you know, it's the early part of the season. I anticipated being like really difficult. I think I said I only expected like 2 or 3 wins out of the first 10 games, like initially. That's really what I thought. I was being honest. And I thought, like, I kind of broke in to start the show in. I was like, I thought it would be a little bit of some time before you kind of could see some progression, but I got to give it to the Kings in that they seem to kind of have a consistent thing that they're doing and putting it together like a lot earlier than I thought. It's showing when you get the Warriors, what, 3 times in the first like few weeks of the season, that's a tough pull. Plus some of the other games, they've had a lot of tough games. They haven't had those. You made that on the podcast a while ago. You made that point. Like there's not that many of those easy Eastern Conference home games going down, you know. So they had a tough schedule. So are you surprised 6-6 at what they're at and the fact that they seem to have some shit like identified this early in the season?
I'm not surprised at all. 6-6. You know, honestly, I'm surprised they're not a little better. To be honest with you, they, you know, let's be real. The Warriors have been atrocious this year. Okay. The Warriors have been bad. You know, they played them, what, 3 times already? Is that right? Have they played them 3 times?
I think so.
They played 3. Yeah. So, like, they played 3 times already. Honestly, they should have had 2 of those wins. You know, there was the home game against Portland that to open the night. That day was very winnable game. You know, we predicted this team to have a winning record. So, you know, I want to say 42 wins, I think we said, something like that. You know, when you're saying 42 wins, you know, 6-6 would not shock me at all, right? So that's pretty on par with how we see the season going. I do think it's going to be there'll be some ups and downs, right? There's going to be some games where, you know, Sabonis will be out and Fox will miss some games like he already has. And, you know, they'll go through a little bit of a rough patch, but it's, you know, the key for the Kings, and this is something they haven't been able to done over the last 20 years, is have those 0-4 over a 4-game stretch, right? Or going 1-6. That's going to be the key, is to not have those. I know they started the season off 0-4. Can't have another one of those, right? You can't drop 4 games in a row in the NBA and be pretty successful. So the key moving forward for them, you know, limit those losing streaks, you know, at worst lose 2 in a row, but you start dipping to 3, 4, 5 games in a row, and that's just not playoff basketball. So to be honest, I'm not surprised at all. And then looking ahead with their schedule over the next few weeks, man, they should move right up, you know, up the ladder of, as far as the standings.
I want to bring in a little bit of NBA talk, because I just think that the standings this year are a little baffling compared to what people predicted. But that is true. That's a take we've had for a lot of years, and we point out to people every season, is that sometimes, like, it's because it's such a long season, half the battle is about just not going on these huge, like you said, losing streaks, like a 7-game, 8-game losing streak. Like that, those are there are times where, like, the last couple years, honestly, the last 2 years, the Kings legitimately had stretches where it was that they had like multiple 7-8-game losing streaks. And it's always a bummer when you get towards the end of the year and you're kind of like competing fringe for play-in spots, and for, you know, even a couple years ago, they were playing a fringe for the 8th seed. And you kind of take a look and you see those streaks on the resume from the season. Now, those are tough ones to swallow. And then just to be able to, this is something I think as a Kings fan that's been tough, man, is that I feel like over the years, like, you know, we bet a lot. So we know that any night in the NBA, random teams will beat another team. But it felt like the Kings were just never that team to do that. They never would just win against teams. Like, there's some massive ownage out there from teams on them, particularly like the Warriors. We're just like owned them for years. Like, they just didn't even get one win. And that's what it's got to take. And so when I'm looking so far this season, I mean, who knows if these, because things have changed so much, if these are going to be, if the Warriors are going to be players, but I don't really legitimately know, but I'm going to go with it. When you beat the Warriors, when you beat the Cavs, when you beat the Heat, when you beat the, who else is on there? I guess those are some to point out early, but like even tomorrow, you beat
Miami.
The Nets. Yeah, I mentioned that one, but you know, like tomorrow, you play the Nets, you beat the Nets, and I'm staring down. It's like Spurs, Pistons, they got, you know, the Grizzlies, the Hawks, the Celtics. It's like, I feel like this year, this team has the potential to just any night show up and get it done. And sometimes that's kind of the difference between that tier that they're in and getting to that next tier that they want to get in, is just to be able to win those games and not just count them, like going down the schedule and counting them as automatic L's. And so, I don't know, I guess like it's one of those things, we have a reason to be somewhat optimistic. So I'm gonna take advantage of it because it hasn't really happened to us in some time. You know, I do think that honestly, and we've always called it objectively. So people who listen to us, I think, give us that credit. Like, I think that the Kings right now, I think this is kind of, I'm hoping this is kind of what it's going to be. Like, I feel like there's still some spots on the roster, which I want to get into, where they need to figure out where the roles are going to be and maybe how to hide some of the deficiencies and stuff. But like, if this is, you know, at the start of the season, new coach, kind of new roles for some players, if this is kind of the low, that's some good signs. All right, the NBA standings, though, Western Conference particularly, Ryan, I want to kind of play a game with you. Trailblazers, are they real or not? You think they're real? 9-4, number one in the West right now. You have to get too much analysis. I just kind of want to know.
All right, well, give me, are they like a number one seed real? Is that what you're asking? Or are they
No, you think that, well, here's why. Okay, the Trailblazers particularly, we kind of thought the Kings were going to be ahead of them. That's why. Do you think they'll be a, like, what do you think?
I think the Kings will catch them. I think you're going to name the team and I'll give you the seed that I think that they would fall on. All right. Does that work? That gives a little better of a depiction of it. But I would say Portland 5-7 range.
Okay. And then Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are real because they've been real.
Yep. Yeah. Top three. Yep.
This one, probably the most surprising team in the NBA right now, the Jazz. 10-5, 3. They've kind of slipped a little bit, but you think they're fakers?
Yeah. Pretenders.
Grizzlies 9-5. Got to give them the credit because they were the last year, I feel like. Too, right?
Yep. Yep. I think they're right where they are. Yep.
Suns are 8-5. I don't know if that, if the standings updated. I know they lost tonight. They're kind of not, I don't think they're a number one, two seed like they were the last couple of years. We felt that going into the year, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, with the Jay Crowder situation, with Cam Johnson being out and, you know, Chris Paul being freaking 40, you know, I think the 1 and 2 seed days are over. I think they're more 5-7 range as well with Portland.
Yeah, Mavericks 7-5. I think the Mavericks will be there, but
I think the Mavericks will be there. Yeah, I think the Mavericks will be there. I think Luka's just too much.
Clippers are 8-6. They're the 7.
Yeah, they're a little better. I think Kawhi and Paul George will eventually start playing, and John Wall will start playing every night, and they'll be there.
Yeah, Pelicans are 8-7-6. Kings are 6-6. Now, I'm gonna throw a couple teams like right now. Who do you think, if you have the standings in front of you, you know, we kind of break off into tiers. Who do you think is like this? Because right, every year is different in the standings. So some years it's clear cut, like 1, 2, 3's top, and then there's a middle tier and there's a bottom tier. Like sometimes the chunk of teams can be the top four. Sometimes it could be everyone's even between like 5 and 10. Like it just depends on the year, if that makes sense. So I think that this year, the way it's shaping up to be, especially when you have the Warriors sitting at 5-8 at the 13th seed. You have the Timberwolves at the 11th seed at 6-8. You have the Pelicans at the 8th seed at 7-6. I think that I don't think the Thunder will be there. I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Warriors. I think that we were way wrong again on the Lakers. You know, we were being optimistic and maybe thought injuries. And last year, I thought the Lakers were going to be up there, but there's nothing to show me now that's going to be the case. So if I'm really tearing up the Kings as far as where I believe they fall into, man. This is what I'm going with, and you tell me who you're going. I'm going with the Blazers, okay? I'll give the Jazz because they're there. I think the Kings are better than the Jazz. I do, even now. I think that the Pelicans and the Timberwolves, that's kind of my tier right there. I think a lot of teams in there, like I think the Spurs are fakers. I think that the Jazz are just, I don't know, man. The Grizzlies are up there. Yours is better. Suns are up there. They're better. The Clippers,
it's crazy.
They're better.
It's the second I look at this and you bring up all the standings, who's the clear cut best team in the Western Conference right now, dude? I can't see Portland, you know, maybe Denver. But I think Sacramento, you know, a team like Memphis, I think Sac matches up pretty well with. I think Phoenix is, you know, trending downwards. I don't know, man. I think, you know, like if I was, you know, playoffs started today, I think Dallas would be a really hard out. I think Denver's a really hard out because of Jokic. And then the Clippers, man, I'm on the boat that I think the Clippers are going to get healthy, dude. And I think they're going to be really, really freaking good. But there's just a lot of average hurt teams right now, man. Nobody really stands out. And I refuse to believe that Portland is the number one team in the Western Conference, man.
Well, that's kind of really what I'm getting at. That. When you have a team like the Jazz and the Trailblazers that are top three in the West, and I legitimately think the Kings have a better team than those two. Maybe I'm wrong about the Blazers. Blazers, I saw them in person this year, as did you. I think that there was maybe some less of consideration and underrating going on when it came to the kind of athleticism they had in scoring from like the secondary players on there. They have a cut like three other guys in addition to Dame that are athletic and can score, but I think they lack a lot of things. That's kind of was my point of the conversation, was that usually there is a clear cut like top three or four, and then there's like this middle tier that, you know, like the bottom 7 to 9 or 10, they're not gonna infiltrate the middle tier typically. And then you kind of have that third tier, which is you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 kind of deal. But this year, when you have 1 and 3 as it stands, as teams, I think the Kings are probably better than, and we're already, you know, 15 games in the season. Another 20 games of this sample size, if it starts to look around this whole deal, it's going to be the most interesting, like, West has been in a long time, to have some pure balance. There's probably not going to be a 60 win team this year. There's probably not even going to be a 50, like, 6 win team. I don't know, man. What do you think? It's kind of going to be that low 50s, and which means to tell me that it might be one of those years where, honestly, the 8th seed might be a high 30s, a 38, 39, 40 type of team. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's very interesting. And with that, it's kind of shaping up in the Kings' favor. And which I think could bring us into our next conversation that is probably going to be the theme of the season, which is De'Aaron Fox, the next level Fox shit, you know. And it seems like his ability to go get a bucket, the criticism people had of him, two of them, were really the three-point shooting and the free throws. To this point, let's see if it's sustainable, but to this point, he's shown to improve it. But the guy, he goes and gets a bucket, end of the game. I mean, countless games. The Orlando game was one that stuck out to me. There's been a ton. I mean, honestly, pretty much every game, he goes in the fourth quarter, he gets the bucket, you know. And when you have a guy like that, not a lot of teams have a guy like that, dude.
Yeah, for sure. You know, De'Aaron Fox has, he's pretty much done what he's done over the last 2 years, though, right? Like, you know, there was a 4 months last year to start the season where he was playing out of position. But then the second half of the season, this is exactly what he did. This is exactly what he did 2 seasons ago when he was averaging almost 26 points per game. You're right, though. The three-point shooting has improved a little bit, but it's mainly the free throws. We've always said that if he can consistently knock down free throws, man, he's going to be a real problem. But you talk about scoring. It's on par with the last two seasons, except for the beginning of last year, right? So the full season in 2021 or 2020-2021, and then so far to start this season. So, and then pretty much to end last season. But I'm not surprised, man. It's me and you have been preaching about this for a long time. You know, to start the season last year, there were some high hopes, I think, a little unfairly, of the fan base. And then for him to get off to the slow start, he was averaging 18 points per game pretty much until like January. Not his fault, though. You know, again, the guy played out of position and we were harping on it all season long. And the second that Haliburton goes away, De'Aaron Fox explodes again. So, you know, the one good thing is Sacramento starting to get a little bit of recognition on the national stage. Okay, it hasn't happened in a while. De'Aaron Fox is starting to get that recognition. People are starting to realize how talented he really is. So, you know, I'm not surprised at all. It's actually, it's refreshing that he's starting to get this national media attention.
Typically, you and I are always the wait and see, be cautious, not in this sample size. But I think that we've seen the ascension happen over a several year period. And then once, like you said, he got moved to off ball and we were pissed off last year and you saw the decrease and then you see him get back in the role and just go right back on the tracks. It's like, that's why I feel confident enough to kind of be so definitive at this point. Whereas other times we wouldn't do that. And that's why I think that people who listen to us would, like I said, hope that we've gained enough credibility over the years and being completely objective and unbiased and honestly, like, not emotional, that this should carry a little bit more weight of us saying this than when other people say stuff like this, because we are always the wait and see. But there's a thing we always say, right? Like in sports, like, you got to look at people's trends and what they are. And they always, they kind of are what they are, and you got to believe what they are, and they always kind of regress or progress, if that's even the right phrase, to what they really are. And De'Aaron Fox has shown in a 3 years, two and a quarter year span now, really, that what he is he's a 25 point a game plus player who is extremely athletic. But I think that every couple years, and especially at the age he's at, that players, there's another level to his game. And I was listening to the broadcast the other night, and they were talking about how he could be a real elite. They said it, not my words, top five two-way player. You know, and that's something when you mentioned about when they played Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies early in the season, you can see how you could just see the difference on that. And so I've paid attention ever since that's been like a topic of what's happening. I mean, he blocked a shot last night. He's got the size and the speed to be an elite on-ball defender. And like you said, the criticisms that people have him, he's going to have to sustain it over a full 82 to really then for it to become like solidified. But the free throw shooting and really the three-point shooting, it's kind of hard to see it regressing. What's going to make the point he's at right now this early in the season at his age, why would he regress? You know what I mean? So it's only reason to be more optimistic.
He's not going to regress. The only thing that's going to mess with him is injuries. That's it. You know, I have his stats up right now. The last three seasons up until now, so 2020, 2021, and now, here's the totals. 25.2, and then last year 23.2, this year 25.5. His by one full rebound, but other than that, everything's been really freaking consistent, right? His stats are not going to dip. If anything, he'll bump up the scoring just a little bit. I'm happy to see it, man. It's just really refreshing when you come on and you're like, see, it's exactly what we thought. You know, you look back at 8 months ago or 9 months ago when they decided to move Haliburton. This is what me and you were talking about. Just let Fox go. Let him be the best player on the court. Let him make that next jump and see where it goes. So I'm actually trying to figure out right now, what is his three-point shooting percentage so far this year? That's something that 37%. Okay, what was it 2 years ago? His stats are really identical, man. They really are.
But you know what I think that it just comes down to sometimes even the eye test kind of deal too. Like, because even though it's pretty similar, it looks different. Anybody who watches the games like fanatically like we do would admit that. Like, it just looks different. You know, what is it? If the stats are the same, what's different then, Ryan?
He has an all-star level player playing with him, an all-star level big man playing with him. That's if you want to talk about efficiency and, you know, maybe he's just got a big man in the middle that commands a little attention and he's getting a little more open shots. Maybe the pick and roll game's really working for him. You know, maybe he has some NBA players around him. There's shooters around him. You know, you got Keegan Murray who hits the three. Barnes is starting to pick it up. You have Malik Monk who's super athletic and shoot the three. And then you have Kevin Huerter who's leading the NBA in three-point percentage right now. You know, so all of that combined is what is making Fox more efficient. And you're not seeing it in the stat book as much. It's not like his numbers have jumped a remarkable amount because they haven't statistically, but he's been more efficient. Maybe that's why. Maybe there's just better plays around him. Better players around him, and you know, people can't really key on him anymore.
That's why we were such a big fans of Sabonis and Sabonis being there. The NBA history is littered of teams with success who have a all-star big man and all-star guard. That combination has shown to be a winning combination. That's why I believed in that and that so much, because once you have that, the other guys, you know, you can have guys in there that have more specific roles, and especially when you have a dominant inside player offensively like Sabonis and a guy who rebounds and honestly passes like that and can run the court like that. It's like our conversation last week is like, people can talk about the negatives of Sabonis all you want, but then at the same time you got to list all the positives. And then you got to look around and say how many teams honestly get this type of production in the inside. And I don't think it's like, I think I brought it up before. It's not even hyperbolic to say like statistically his output is like, how many more big men out there, like true centers out there, are putting out like offensive and rebounding production? It's not a lot. It really isn't. Most teams get production from forwards, guards, but like, okay, obviously you have Jokic, but like who else is out there that you're kind of getting that similar production for? You know, Embiid, Okay, so let's take off the top guys, but you know, so I guess it just shows like that's something a little different that the Kings have than some of the other teams. When you have a guy who goes out there with 22 rebounds and stuff, like that's kind of valuable, right?
Yeah, you look at it. I mean, you have your elites of the elites, right? So like guys that you just named, those are your elite big men in the league. But then you have the guys who are all stars, right? And that's where Sabonis is at. And I don't think there's as many guys at Sabonis's level. Kind of, you're not, you know, not a superstar, but you're an all-star, you know, and you're getting closer. You're young enough to where you're getting closer to where you could possibly be at that level, right? Like you made a good point. How many guys are scoring and rebounding like Sabonis outside of those big, big guys out of the Jokic's and Embiid? Nobody. You know, there's not another center in the NBA. I mean, you have guys like Steven Adams and Jonas Valanciunas who are just big maulers, you know, great rebounders, defensive guys in the middle, but they're not scoring like that, you know? So, you know, his offensive output, I really think, and I think it's obvious when you look at their record, his offensive output definitely outweighs his defensive deficiencies. Definitely. You know, look at the games where he doesn't foul out and he scores well, they're winning. You know, it's not a coincidence that, you know, when Sabonis plays well, they win. So
it's true. Yeah. When he has these 20 point multiple, you know, high double digit rebound games, it translates. Something like we're not X's and O's film breakdown guys, but it just seems that the Kings are kind of figuring out. That's what I meant about early in the episode. They're kind of figuring out early in the season guys' role and figuring out a rotation. You can see the rotation tightening up. You can see the minutes allocation getting more defined. And you can kind of see guys taking more confidence in their, particularly the offensive game, right? So a couple guys that come to mind, I think Herter kind of came in the season with that. He came in pretty confident. Night one was nice. But there's two guys that is Trey Lyles and Malik Monk. Trey Lyles is, he was a guy early in the season. We were kind of like, yeah, he's going to be in there by default because he's like the only other guy who could play. But he seems to have the confidence to shoot threes. And I remember I posted in the Kingsland thread, like, I like Lyles, and people were kind of making fun of me. And like, I'm not hyping the guy, but like, he plays, he does play. So he's in there. But the most interesting thing, not to have a too big a conversation around it this week, Ryan, but Rashawn Holmes is not playing. He is not fucking playing at all. And honestly, Metu has seemed to be the guy who's kind of coming in later in games and kind of filling in the backup big man type of situation. And not Holmes. And I think this is what it is. I think this is what it is. I don't see it changing. Like, do you? And do you see the rotation? Like, at some point, like early in the season, this happens every year where different guys start, they try things out, and eventually it kind of gets more defined and more defined. Now, the problem with the Kings the last bunch of years has been that shit changes every month. A couple years ago, they signed Buddy Hield to a massive extension, and then they decided he was going to be a sixth man midway through the year and start, you know, Bogdanovich. And then, they're, you know, Dwayne Dedman, they sign him. They don't even play him. So there's like always weird shit to go down with the Kings. But this year, I think it's different. I think that those shenanigans and you know, Bush League, you know, Stockton Kings type of moves isn't going down. And I don't see it changing. I just see it tightening up more, which is does not trend well for Rashawn Holmes. And I guess some of these players playing a lot more minutes, and honestly Malik Monk making an impact, and some of these other guys making an impact, man, they're part of the rotation now.
Yeah, the Rashawn Holmes thing, that's not freaking changing unless somebody gets hurt, right? Like Metu's gonna have to get Sabonis gonna get have to get hurt for an extended period of time to allow him to play. That's not going to change. And you know, you've said in years past that they've, you know, just kind of stuck with these Stockton Kings types guys. I was worried, man, when they started Kezia Paula to start the season, man, I was like, fuck, dude, like really this way, the way the direction that shit got canned fast, dude, that shit has got canned so fast to the point where it's even got a step further. And I never thought I'd see Rashawn Holmes on the Kings playing 0 minutes just because it seems like they love him so much. But, you know, they're winning. and he's not playing, you know, so you got to roll with that. Things aren't going to change. As long as you're winning, nothing's changing. This if everybody stays healthy, the Kings continue to win, the roster, the rotations, it's not going to change at all, man. They, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But I am surprised that Rashawn Holmes is getting a lot of donuts, man. It's happening. There's a lot of zeros coming from that guy. And, you know, we've kept receipts on people that we've gotten arguments over the years. We talk about it all the time. Fucking told you so, man. You fucking told you so. A bright spot is Metu. You know, you brought him up a little bit. Metu seems like he's kind of matured as a player. Last year, a lot of 3-point shooting from that guy. Not as much this year, man. And that's just, you know, that's, I don't, obviously I'm not in the locker room, not at practice. So, you know, I can sit here and say it's coaching. I can sit here and say it's maturity on his part or him just becoming a more self-aware player. It's probably something a little bit of both. I don't have the insight on that, but, you know, he's a 25-year-old super athletic guy, you know, like there's no reason why that guy shouldn't get minutes for the Kings. And, he's improving. And then I really think with the emergence of Trey Lyles being a legitimate offensive threat, especially from the 3-point line, man, I think that's really what's pushed Rashawn Holmes out. I just don't really, you know, when the guy's in there, there's no spacing. He's not a lockdown defender, rim protector, like everybody tried to say he was. His offensive game is almost nothing, you know, and he's not a big time rebounder like that. So, you know, we always come on here and we talk about guys who they bring almost an elite quality to the team, right? We talked about it with Malik Monk, who's kind of that elite scorer. He can score in bunches. Kevin Huerter's elite 3-point shooter. Sabonis is an elite inside scorer, rebounder. Trey Lyles is starting to emerge to be a pretty damn good stretch four off the bench. That guy's bringing some really good shooting for his position. Rashawn Holmes isn't really bringing that elite quality, man. So that's something that I harp on a lot. But as long as the team's winning, that roster and that rotation ain't changing.
I got to protect you. I wouldn't call it elite quality. I get what you're saying, but like Malik Monk is not an elite scorer. But I get what you're saying more in that maybe would you rather say like they bring a quality, like a specialty, if you will.
Well, that's
like
what I mean.
Specialty,
yeah.
They're quality. Not, yes, well, you said elite, yeah. So I want you to clear it up.
Specialty quality, yeah. Sorry. We talk about that all the time, about how everybody specializes in something and owning that quality. Sorry, I should have said specialty. But yeah, you know, Herter's brought his specialty. Everybody has that role, and they're thriving in that role. You know, when you just don't really have that great quality or that specialized quality for you, it's hard to crack the rotation, man. You know, Rashawn Holmes is his specialized quality is hustle. People love him because, oh, you know what he does? He works hard. Sorry, that doesn't win games. You have to bring that special quality. You know, you have to contribute somehow, you know, so everybody finds their niche. Unfortunately, he's kind of fallen out of the rotation and I don't see it changing.
Someone posted in Kingsland today, like, what happened? It was something happened to him. And I'm like, and this, my reply was, no, I don't think anything happened to him. I think that it's just the roster surpassed him. Like, the roster surpassed him, and he doesn't fit what they wanted to do. And if he was even, like you're saying, if he had, like, a certain skill set that they needed, if he was good, honestly, they would find somewhere to get him in at some point. But the fact that the minutes have deteriorated to literally nothing from in the season he was the guy off the bench, then it turned into Lyles. Now it's turned into Metu, right? It just shows like they're not even trying. They don't even need to get him in, and. You know, Ryan, there's been a couple takes over the years where I just don't know if we'll ever get the credit for the takes. But the Rashawn Holmes one is one I'll always be really proud of because there was so much opposition towards him. And all we kept saying was, yes, this guy is playing 29 minutes on a bad team. Let's see what he does with like 20. I was even at the time saying like 22 minutes on a good team. You know, but I will say this, Ryan, because we've always been the negative one of Rashawn Holmes. I'm actually disappointed. Okay. I'm disappointed because I'm a Kings fan, as you are. And I'm disappointed that the Kings paid a guy like this in that he can't even get on the floor. I'm disappointed that his production in the starting lineup hasn't translated into the bench. I'm disappointed by that because I think had he done the same, had he been able to provide the same kind of energy, pick and roll, all the shit people like to say, that even though his defense was hyped, but okay, defense, if he's able to do that off the bench, I would have been for it. And so I'm actually bummed. I'm actually bummed by it. And I don't like when Kings pay players and there's players on the roster who fail. I don't root for that. Although as much as a lot of other people out there root for certain players to not do well so that they're right, at the end of the day, I was kind of, you know, I would like to be wrong because that means that they're better. But I just knew all along we weren't. You know, I just knew we weren't. But I am disappointed in that he can't even hit the floor. That's bad. That sucks, man.
Yeah, me and you were talking about today. You know, Sacramento seems to be trending up, and we both predict them to at least be in the play-in game this year. And we were talking about Rashawn Holmes. We're like, shit, how do you get off that contract, right? Because if you're Sacramento, you're at the point now where you're trending in the right direction. You can't pay to get rid of somebody, you know? So me and you have been really high on Monty Big Balls McNair. This is the one move where it's like at the time me and you saw it, and then you're seeing it come out, you know, play out now. And it's like, fuck, dude, we fucking knew it. And they paid him anyway. Thankfully they didn't pay him the, you know, the 18 to 20 million, like everybody was saying they were going to, and that was the market for him. Thankfully he got 11 million, but still that's 11 million for a team that could really probably use that, right? Like when you're trending in the right direction, you can't afford to have somebody making 11 million getting 0 minutes a night. That is a huge issue. That is a huge issue. So, you know, that could be something that comes back to bite them a year from now. You know, like say Sacramento plays really well this year and they get the 5 or 6 seed and they try to make that jump into a top 3 seed next year, which is, you know, it's possible. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that could be something that holds them back, man, not being able to pick up another free agent because of the Rashawn Holmes contract. So it does suck, right? Because, you know, when you do sign somebody, you expect them to be in the lineup, at least in the rotation, playing well. And that at the moment, that just looks really bad. It looks really bad that, you know, in the first, what is this, first year of the contract? First year of the contract. Yeah. You know, and you're on the hook for pretty much, I want to say the last year was a team option, but you're on the hook for 2 more years, you know, and it's going to be hard to move that thing. And so we'll see how it plays out.
Never to be negative. I got shitted on Kingsland this week, Ryan. I didn't talk to you about this. So I think people really misunderstood me. The Kings, I hate, we've talked about it on the show, I fucking hate the Sacramento Kings social media team. I hate them. And also, I get a lot of emails from the tickets people just for whatever reason. So I get a lot of ticket promotion stuff and they call me or whatever. And they had made a post this week when they beat the Cavs and it was Donovan Mitchell. And here's a quote about how like exciting the Kings are. And so the Sacramento Kings took that quote and we're trying to like promote it to hype the team. Like, look at what an opposing all-star player said about us. Now, here's the deal. For me, I think that shit's whack. I've hated on it for years. I remember years ago, a great example was how Greg Popovich like got quoted after a game about how exciting the Kings were and how they're going to be great one day. And then they tried to sell tickets because of it. Okay. And so I think it's whack. I think it's kind of cornball stuff. I think it's like it's kind of a second tier inferiority complex type of stuff. So I make the post in Kingsland. I'm like, this is absolute bullshit trying to hype an opposing player's compliment to like sell tickets. Well, dude, I've never been shitted on in Kingsland like this ever. And people, there was a whole thread of like, you're an idiot. I can't believe you're mad about a quote and blah, blah, blah. And I was like going about my day and I logged back in. I go, whoa, dude, I just got crushed. And I'm like, I think people misunderstood. They thought that I was upset that an opposing player complimented the Kings. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about that. I just think it's some cornball stuff when the team's trying to promote to sell tickets on another team. Did you see that thread? Do you agree with me or like what?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I wouldn't have fucking posted it because who cares? But I understand what you're saying. It is corny. Okay, but that's you have to look at it. And for all you people who were coming at him, I did see it and I read some stuff. You guys have to realize, okay, this is how poverty franchises act. Okay, if you don't want to be a poverty franchise and you want to get taken seriously and you want to be looked at legit, stop doing stupid shit like this. Who cares what Donovan Mitchell said after a loss? Who cares? They looked hungry. You could see where they want to go. You could say that about every team in the damn NBA, dude. Okay. Like when the Thunder come out and, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander drops 40 and they randomly win a game and Josh Giddey has those random triple-double night. It's like, oh yeah, they're hungry. They're young. You could see it in their eyes. You can see it. It's fucking poverty franchise stuff, dude. Okay. Just, whatever, dude. It's a social media. They're social media people. If you're really in the locker room and if you're, on the Kings roster and you're really taking that to heart, that you're like a 24 or 5 year old Donovan Mitchell's giving you credit after a loss, and you're really taking that to heart, man. I hope the Kings have a little more confidence than that.
He believes in us. No, and I think that part of it is like that's the difficult thing. So I learned my lesson because people, and maybe because I have the avatar on as my thing on social media, like people, and we do the podcast, people are quick to, I notice that people are quick to either agree or hear what I have to say, or they're quick to really come at you and challenge you, So I learned my lesson. I wasn't really. I thought it was just. It was more like, and because we're in group chats, so like this is fucking stupid. Like it was more like that. But people took it as like I was legitimately angry. And like you're just an angry. I'm like, I don't know, man. I finally replied to people. I was like, hey, you could pile on, or you have a take, But like, I don't know, piling on is kind of whack. And I was like, we do a podcast. Like I put out a lot of content, and I'm not negative. If you listen to us, Ryan, we're not negative. You know what I mean? We're just honest. Like we come in here, we be honest. I'm not a bitter, negative person who just wants to be upset. So I just thought to bring that up. Social media can be kind of wild sometimes for that. Looking ahead, Ryan, what's the? I think this is something I like to do. I like to look at the most exciting game I'm looking forward to out there for the Kings, kind of coming up. And
Tomorrow's an exciting game.
tomorrow's an exciting game. I think the one I'm actually looking forward to the I'm looking forward to the Pistons one next week, going to that one in person. But I think the one to circle, well, it'll be the Grizzlies. We'll record before then, but only three games before the next week.
Yeah, you gotta think,
Four games, three games.
Thanksgiving and stuff, dude. And but I mean, hey, any time that you get to play Kevin Durant and have Kevin Durant at home and possibly get a win. By the way, Sacramento is favored -2 at the moment. But that's a good game, man. Brooklyn, for all their faults and all of their chaos, man, Ben Simmons is still on the team. Kevin Durant is still on the team. They still have Seth Curry. They still got Joe Harris. They got Royce O'Neal. Like there's fucking dudes over there, right? Like it's there is that team is good. They still have Kevin Durant, who's still, in my opinion, probably a top five player in the NBA. So I'm really looking forward to that. Can Sacramento finally just, slow somebody down, slow an elite guy down, right? Steph Curry's been killing us. They did enough the other night to slow him down just enough. Can they do the same with Kevin Durant? And I'm looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, that's good. That's gonna be a good one. No, it's definitely good games and some more home games. I am looking ahead though, man. Just December, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They have 8 games, and one of them's at home. And that's to start off the first half of December. That's gonna be the test, dude. And just looking at the schedule, we always say about Christmas time, they're gonna be playing a massive road trip, to really break in December. I think this little stretch they have, they need to kind of put themselves a little bit ahead in the win column, and if they can kind of float around 500 thereafter by Christmas, be a game or two above or even right at it, I think that's good. So I don't want to get too ahead of myself because it's a long season, and we've always said that when it's bad. But there's reasons to be excited, and if anything, to take away, Ryan. I just don't see things regressing too much. I really don't. I think that there's a lot of more meat on the bone here, but whatever isms I can say, there's more going, there's more here, more growth and all that. So We'll see where the thing takes us. Most optimistic Canes cast ever, maybe. I don't know. It was fun. But, hey, guys, we appreciate you listening in. If you ever want to interact or be a part of the show, you can always do so by tagging us. You can find Ryan and I on Twitter and Facebook at Canes cast Eric and Canes cast Ryan. We are active on there, including our group Kingsland. So join that and check it out. And then if you want to support the show, please slide down on Apple Podcasts or slide up on Spotify and leave us a 5-star review. It helps us reach more Kings fans just like you. And if you want to check out past episodes, you can check us out on the Believe Podcast Network, where we are the Sacramento Kings signature show. So with that, for Ryan, this is Eric. Go Kings.
Thanks.